This morning, take your Bibles and turn with me to Luke chapter 14. Scripture text this morning is Luke 14, verses 16 through 23. And as we get into the message, you'll see why I entitled it, Let's Go for God. Verse 16 says, But he said to him, A man was going or giving a big dinner, and he invited many. It sounds like Baptist, doesn't it? Like to eat. And after dinner hour, he sent his slave to say to those who had been invited, Come, for everything is ready now. But they all alike began to make excuses. Does anybody ever make excuses why they don't want to attend something or do something? The first one said to him, I have bought a piece of land and I need to go out and look at it. Please consider me excused. Another one said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I am going to try them out. Please consider me excused. Another one said, I have married a wife, and for that reason, I cannot come. And the slave came back and reported this to his master. Then the head of the household became angry and said to his slave, Go out. See that word go? Go out at once into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in here the poor and the crippled and the blind and the lame. And the slave said, Master, what you've commanded has been done, and still there is room. And the master said to the slave, Go out into the highways and along the hedges and compel them to come in so that my house may be filled. Since we're into the ball season, well, this football, but everything else is going on as well with football and soccer and volleyball and everything else. But I heard of a story of a team, it's a football team, playing one of their rivalries, and the home team was getting smeared by the opponents. And someone on the sideline would say, Give the ball to Calhoun. Give the ball to Calhoun. Well, next play, they didn't even make it to the line. Actually, they lost yardage. And someone from the stand again said, Give the ball to Calhoun. Well, the next play, they lost more yardage and so forth and weren't getting anywhere. And again, from the sideline, someone said again, Give the ball to Calhoun. And some tall player in the midst of the bodies laying there on the field got up, stood up, and he responded to the crowd. The person in the crowd said, Calhoun said he didn't want the ball. And now when we think about our involvement, when we think about getting involved in anything, whether it be sport or in a church, you know, it can be true with many Christians today. Yeah, they do not want to carry the ball of I call evangelism or outreach, and I don't speak a whole lot on the subject, but you do hear me say it because I have a passion for it. I have a passion for soul winning. I have a passion for sharing the Word of God with the lost, no matter what age, to adult. And I think that when the Bible tells us in stories and the parables and things that Jesus used too, should give us a real concern and zeal to reach out to meet others' needs, and that is Christ very often. See, they need to hear the cry of the crowd in heaven cheering on. You know, the whether or not we realize it, but the crowd in heaven is cheering us on. The Bible calls them the cloud of witnesses. They are witnesses of the things that were accomplished while they were here on earth, and now their work is done, but their work continues on. Now they're cheering us on, and especially Christ when he is calling us to go out through the highways, through the hedges, in the streets, wherever people are. See, I think that the cloud of witnesses in the grandstand of glory are urging to run the race before we leave this earth. They're urging us to carry on. And they need to hear the voice of the coach. We need to hear the voice of the coach as he calls the plays. The coach is who? Jesus Christ, isn't it? He is. And oftentimes I would ask, or I ask, can you hear it? Can you hear him? You know, we have looked right and we have looked left and considered God's will, and now, you know, we can't sit idle in our lives as Christians, but we should put the pedal to the metal, and it's go time. Because of the things in our world, as we see, is not moving in the direction of everyone meeting Jesus Christ, or actually churches going out and witnessing. So, in a way, we as churches across the world are not, we're going backwards, really. Not meeting the people and leading them to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. So this morning, I want us to look at ways that we can, I guess, some of the ways that God wants us to go. First of all, let us go and invite them. Going back to verse 16, if you'll look there with me. It says that a certain man made a great supper. That means in his mind, in his heart, Jesus is saying he had a desire to meet the needs of people, and he was seeing people that were poor and crippled and lame and blind, and he saw them not in the physical condition, but he was looking at their spiritual condition, and that's exactly what Jesus is portraying in this passage of Scripture, that he's looking at people who has a sin-sick heart. And in this parable, this certain man, he made a great supper, and he bade, the KJV would say, or invited them. He didn't care who they were. Anyone, everyone was compelled or bade to come. What he was saying, let's, you know, all of you come. And for us today, we got to say, let's go get them. Let's go out where they are and bring them in where we are. But whom shall we get? And now this, I want to go back to verses 12, 13, and 21. I want us to consider who Jesus is thinking about, and as Luke penned these words, who was he thinking about? Well, in verses 12, 13, 21, maybe it could have been poor people like Bartimaeus. And if we look at Bartimaeus' name, it means what? Encourager. He was a great encourager. But in the terms of who he was then, he was among the poor. So Jesus says, go out and call him in. What about the rich people like Zacchaeus? I mean, he was rich, and everybody knew it, and they hated him because he was a tax collector. But God loved him and called him and waited in a sycamore tree to invite him, tell him he was going to go home with him and eat. Well, what about religious people like Nicodemus? There's someone else that can go out and win for Christ. Because Nicodemus came to Jesus tonight to inquire about things of Jesus' ministry and so forth, and Jesus told him right off, yeah, you must be born again. Now, there's sick people like the impotent man, wicked people like the woman at the well. Jesus made an appointment and made sure that he was there to invite her into the kingdom of God. What about the black people like the Ethiopian eunuch? You know, what about the working people like James and John who were mending their nets and Jesus called them? See, he reached out to them. What about the political leaders like Cornelius that Peter was able to minister to? And then the social people like Lydia and little people like the children Jesus spoke of in Matthew 19. So, all of these people are the ones that are out in the highways and the hedges, and those that are out, and the harvest is ready and plentiful. And we are the harvesters, so we go out. And that's what Jesus is saying here in this parable, go out and compel them. He didn't say this, just wait until they show up and we welcome them, but the word go is an action word. It's a verb, isn't it? It's something that we put in action. You know, there's a story about a little girl who came running home from church one morning after church, and she said, Mommy, Mommy, my name is in the Bible. My name is in the Bible. And her mother answered the little child and said, well, how do you know? I don't think your name, Edith, is in the Bible. He said, yes, it is. Said the preacher said it was. Said that Jesus said that Jesus called the sinners and he eateth with them. So she said, my name has to be in the Bible. But nowhere does the Bible command the lost to come to church. Now, we are to go and to bring them in. That's what the Bible says here. And we should go to invite them. Jesus said in Mark 16:15, go into all the world. And then in Luke chapter 14:21, go into the streets and the lanes. And then in Luke 14:23, Jesus says, go into the highways and the hedges. See, God is leading us to the thirsty. Who was the thirsty one? The woman at the well, wasn't she? And she didn't realize she was thirsting for more than just water. She was thirsting for something spiritual. And Jesus talked to her about that. Look at all the avenues that can be opened up as you meet people and you talk to and see where they are. strike up a conversation, something about their family or something about their own personal life. And Jesus met this woman at the well because she come and drew water every day. And Jesus knew this, and he met her right where she was. And what about the seeking? People who are seeking something different in this world. And we can find that out very quickly as we ask them, you know, what's your interest? And that's the next thing, the interest. There are so many. And the fields of a harvest is ready. Well, let's go. And then the Bible says that we can instruct them. Look at what Jesus says in Matthew 28:20. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. So Jesus says, you have been instructed. I have given you instructions about my teaching, my desire for you to have eternal life with me, and therefore I want you to pass this on to other people. How many of you ladies, if you have a good recipe and you like it, your family like it, everybody eats it, they like it, and somebody who eats it says, can I have this? Then you what? You pass it on to them. It's something good. It's something you want to keep sharing with anybody and everybody because you know it's good, it's delightful, it's delicious. What about our relationship with Jesus Christ? If we value our relationship with Jesus Christ and we know how God works in our lives and how he provides for us and how he gives us hope for eternity. It's one beggar telling another beggar where to find food, you know. I found it. And it's Christians who are saved telling other people where they found salvation. Oh, it you know, a passion that Christ had for the lost sinner. When he was on the cross and he said, forgive them for what they have done to me, I still forgive them. And it's so hard for us to forgive people. But Jesus says, forgive. I forgive you, for you know not what you're doing. And in Matthew, it says, teaching them to observe all things whatever I have commanded you. And see, after inviting people, we must then instruct them. That's what the Bible says. God's plan is about discipleship, training, and teaching. One of the worst things that Baptists or other churches who have done away with discipleship training, because see, that's where we got. That's where we learned about discipling, not only our own lives, but discipling how to disciple. So many years ago, back in the 50s and in the 60s, the emphasis was on Sunday school. Sunday school. Sunday school. And then the worship services started to decline because people was going to Sunday school and then leaving after Sunday school. Now it's reversed. The focus is on worship and people go to worship and now they don't stay for Sunday school. We've got this all flip-flopped. And where we're missing out on our valuable time being into the Word of God, learning about how that we can apply the things that we learn. And so many times people don't think that, you know, they're getting fed through Sunday school or discipleship training because it's not relevant to their lifestyle and so forth. But let me tell you, it worked for the people of that day. And if you go to Acts chapter 2, the people were being saved daily and added to the church, and they were in the Word of God, learning about Jesus' way and how he did things. And there's so many programs out there in the world today, so many CDs and software and everything about new styles of discipling and so forth. And when we got the main textbook right here, and it tells us how to do it. to love people, to invite people, to show them compassion like Jesus did. If people know you care, they will come. They really know. But, you know, we as people, as Christians, we have to invite people before they will come. Noel, the third thing, let's go inspire them. See, there's a need for Christians to be alive, alert, awake, because the world is watching for something real. Still, and they always will be looking for something real. If they find it, it's only temporarily anyway. But if you find Christ, it's real, it is forever. And there's a tremendous need for zeal and inspiration. See, the message to me is exciting. The command from Jesus is exciting to go. And there's the gospel is a life-changing and eternal altering of a person's life. See, and a great church such as this is rare and precious. Do you know how precious and rare Versailles Baptist Church is? Among all the churches in our area, among all the churches in the county or throughout the other regions and so forth, there's no place like this place, anywhere near this place, so this must be the place that the Lord wants to work through us and in our lives. See, this is a great business in the entire world, God's business. So many people will enter here for the first time, and some seeking God's direction in their lives, looking for new opportunities to serve God. And when they do, we can connect them, you see. See, the weight of burden is sometimes obvious in people's lives. We can help them there. When we come to church, we need our batteries charged. And when we leave here, we're charged and we're ready to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. How many of you come to get your battery charged each week? Yeah, well, I do. If you don't come, don't you think your battery gets low through the week? It starts decharging rather than charged. I talk to so many people that say, you know, I go to church to get charged, to get instructions, to be encouraged, to go out and meet the challenges of the world. And you see, it can help you in your job. Going to church can help you in your job. It can give you the insights of things that you can't imagine that you will be confronted with. And when you're in your right thinking and in the right spirit with God, it doesn't matter what happened, you can still concentrate that you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and you can carry out your responsibility and your job because you are doing it unto the Lord. It doesn't matter what you're doing, digging ditches, you know, emptying trash cans, or if you're a CEO, whatever you are, your life is valuable to God. You're important, and you have something to offer, you see. And that's why we come to church, so we can get instruction, so we can be disciplers, so we can get our batteries charged, so that when we leave here, we know exactly where we're going and what we're going to be doing, because God, it says, I am with you. You're not going by yourself. You know what? If I thought I was going out by myself every time I go out and talk to people, or if I just go out to visit, I mean, if I just go to visit the nursing home or the hospital, if I thought I was going by myself, I'd be in trouble. I never leave the driveway or my house before I pray to God that, where am I going? Lord, you are in charge. Give me the words to say. Help me in my prayer Whatever the need is, I need you to speak through me, and it will happen. See, my vision is to have evangelism teams going out, some handing out tracts, some making calls, some writing cards to be sent out, and some face-to-face witnessing boldly for Christ. See, in Acts chapter 4, where Jesus had been with the disciples, and then they come in the midst of a lot of people looking at them and sizing them up, and see, you know, they saw that they were uneducated. They saw that they were some of them poor. They were fishermen. But what made the difference is when they looked at them, they saw something different about these men. You know what? Acts chapter 4, around verse 31, it says, they saw that they had been with Jesus. You see, that made the difference. When we come to church, and we go out, people are going to look at you and say, you know, I don't know much about their personal life or anything else that they do, but there's something about them. It must be because they've been with Jesus. You see, that makes a difference. That will speak louder than anything else in your life. If people know you love Jesus and you're accountable, responsible, and you're willing to take a stand for Him, witness for Him, and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. I believe when we do that, it will all snowball on us from there on. We can do it. All right. I got a little behind here. I get caught up. Here we go. It's time to get involved. You see, in your insert there, you don't have that one, do you? As I was thinking, and now as I was thinking about, well, I need more than this in this message. I don't need to just end where I did, but got to get involved. And that's you and me together. See, once people are invited to come to Christ, instructed in the ways of the Lord, and inspired to do the work of the Lord, it's time to get involved. You know, we have to get ready for what is coming, but we have to work on it now. We have to get ready, and it will take many of you stepping up to the plate to do it. With so many families come, many children and babies will come too. And we've seen evidence of that, haven't we? See, God wants to bring us new people. Many of you already experienced and skilled at witnessing or inviting. And many of you do that on a weekly basis as well. See, we will teach and we will train everyone to do their part. It would be wonderful if you came to me and say, plug me in, Pastor Mike. Boy, that would make my day. Just like getting into the waters of baptism. We're going to do that next Sunday. We could have baptism every Sunday. Wouldn't that be exciting? If we had baptism every Sunday, you know, I'm ready for this, and put me on the list, and let's get started. If you would say that, it would make my day. It would make the Lord's day. And the more we get involved, the better, which means all will be less stressed and more blessed. You want to take stress out of your life? Do something for the Lord. It takes less stress out of your life. See, there's several different options that for you to serve, and there will be training instructions to do this. And it only needs your involvement. I read of a tribe of natives in South America who learned that there's leaves of a certain tree that would give them extra energy and strength and would keep them from getting hungry. So they began to eat them regularly. They seemed strong, energetic, and it stirred their appetite. A few weeks later, some of them died. An investigation revealed that they had starved to death. The leaves had paralyzed them from and tricked them with false-like energy. And it's quite obvious that Satan has had great success in getting Christians to be perfectly satisfied with their regular routine of not speaking in behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ when it comes to the Great Commission. See, surely the only answer is to get back to the basics of going after people and carrying out God's Great Commandment. And in conclusion, it's go time, isn't it? It's go time. And I might ask you this morning, isn't that the Christian's obligation? You know, we talk about missionaries, we talk about sending missionaries, but aren't we all missionaries in a way? We're all missionaries. And I hope you'll go across the street, contact someone that you know and invite them to church. If you will listen to the voice of God, He calls us all to go somewhere. He calls us to go somewhere. And if we will just stop and listen to His small, still voice, and when we read the Scriptures, and it's very plain, I could have read a whole list of Scriptures where it says, go. Jesus says, go. And many of these, and most of these, are Jesus giving that command. So He must have had a purpose for us to go. But we're not going, are we? Churches are not going. But we need to go. Get involved. It's go time. Our Father God, we thank You for the message of the Great Commission. I know it's not a message always people love to hear. But Lord, it's one that's needed. And the only way that we will have that compassion to go is for You to make it real, as Your Scripture plainly states it, that we're willing from our heart and have the love that You have for the lost, then we will go. Lord, thank You for Your patience with us as Your children. Thank You, Lord, that You love us so much that You never give up on us. Lord, I thank You for the privilege and opportunities that You give us to minister. And thank You for the people that are willing to say, Lord, here am I, I'll go. But it has to come from a heartfelt desire to have a loving relationship, not only with You, but with people maybe we've never met, but we know that needs Jesus. Lord, this invitation, Lord, is Your invitation. Speak to each one of us in a way that only You can, and understand our responsibility, and give us accountability, Lord, to seek out and reach and being willing to just say, Lord, I want to be used by You. If that's everybody's prayer this morning, Lord, there's nothing that can stand in the way. Satan himself cannot put any obstacles or barriers between us, because we know it's Your will and you'll see it through. That would be the victory. Lord, we thank you in your precious Son's name. Amen. Our hymn of invitation this morning is 441. Let us stand as we sing. I'll be here at the front to talk with you, pray with you, whatever God is leading you to do this morning.